Greetings. You're now listening to the most handsome and intellectually superior specimens on Earth. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Starts now.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of day it is where you are. We'll hope that you're doing well. We're pleased to be able to bring you another episode of I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It. My name is Fresh, and we're thankful that you decided to join us today. Before we get to this week's episode, I'd like to remind you that if you like what you hear, please, please, please go to Apple Podcast and rate our podcast and leave us a comment or two. Now, without further delay, let's go ahead and get this thing rolling. I'd like to introduce my partner, who is a connoisseur of all things cultural. He's my partner, Podcast Crime. Reg, what is up, player?
Fresh, I hadn't seen you since the last time I saw you, brother. What's the news, man? What's the news?
Man, you know, we're just trying to keep it rolling, man. We're coming up on 2 years in podcasting, man. So when this episode drops, it will be 2 years of doing this thing, man. Trying to be the cool culture and consciousness of the Black community.
Nice, man. That's a quick two years, wasn't it, man?
Yeah, man. It's quick 2 years, and I've gotten a little bit more volatile over the years, man. You know, I was already passionate to begin with, but it's been so much shit that has happened over the past 2 years, man. I wish we could do a recap, but again, like I said, I think 2020 has been traumatizing enough.
Dude, 2020 everybody. Has been crazy, man.
And you know what's funny? People talk mad shit about 2019, talking about 2020, just come in here and sit your ass down and don't touch nothing. Now, then that was like 2020 is fucking us in the wrong hole.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It is getting it right now.
Mm-hmm. So, decade, man. Yeah.
It's crazy, man. So, man, we back at it again, though, man. We're going to hit them in the face with something that they need, man. So, what are we going to be talking about today, man?
Well, we talked about it beforehand, you know, barriers to unity, and I think it's something we need to discuss as far as what is it that's sort of holding us back as a people with progress.
Yeah, man, we definitely need to hit on that before. I mean, we've in several different shows, we've talked about in and a roundabout way, but we're going to try to get as specific as possible in the short amount of time that we have, just to try to put some shit on people's mind, man, because it's right now, I think, is the I don't know if you could ever say that there's a perfect time, but there's always flashpoints in history, and more specifically flashpoints in people's individual lives that allow them to take advantage or to move forward or to galvanize you know, their efforts and their strengths and their people and their family to make, you know, their tribe, if you will, better. I think this is one of those times, man, where we're sitting in a time frame where people have blackness on their minds.
Right.
Not just people of color. I've heard black so much that it's not even funny, which is, you know, we're going to do another show, you know, about, you know, keeping your eyes open, at least your third eye open for that bullshit. But it just seems like that everybody got black in their mouth right now, man.
Right.
And so this might be that opportunity for us to get our shit together where people, well, let me put it like this. It's time for us to get our shit together because people aren't really looking at us in a side eye type of manner. Because quiet has kept, they've been waiting for us to do this shit. They've been like, damn, you know, we've been getting away with this shit for, man, hundreds of motherfucking years.
Right.
So, you know, motherfuckers acting like that they're really going along with it. They ain't really saying shit. So this is the time that people can really be their authentic selves, per se, and to make moves and to make moves in a positive direction that are code-driven, not necessarily, I mean, everybody's going to be out for themselves, but not necessarily personally driven, but code-driven as a people. And I think that's the time that we're living in right now. And we're just going to kind of shed some light on some of the idiosyncrasies that people may have about the concept of unity, whether it be economic unity, political unity, or just having respect for one another, just right out. So You know, I'll let you go ahead and start off, man. What do you think? Let's go from a political perspective, man. What do you think some of the barriers are that will keep us from marching to the same beat?
Well, I think that politically speaking, what's been a barrier from day one is Democrat versus Republican. If you just want to start there, I think we as a people have we look at, as a group, we have to choose between parties that are presented before us in order to say, you know, say what's on our mind, to, march or not march, but to look for progress, to demand things. And I think that's been a big crutch in the process, man, is the whole Democrat versus Republican. And a lot of us, and I'm unaffiliated, by the way, in my political, I guess what I'm entitled, and I'm registered to vote, but as unaffiliated, I used to be Democrat. You know, and the reason I did that is so that I can be as bipartisan as possible, because I believe that if we vote for interests politically, if we just look at things from an interest standpoint, don't look at, to be honest, don't even look at the color of the politician. Look at what is being presented as a, you know, what is on the campaign, what is being presented as a possible solution for the Black community. We have to think Black first, because we are the ones that need the most help all, you know, always. And so I think those are, you know, some of the barriers politically that we run into. If it's Democrat, oh, we got to vote Democrat. I don't care who it is. We got to go because Republicans, we know they hate us. That's the notion. And that's, to me, that's just a false way of looking at it. And we don't, like I said, we just don't, people pretty much put the propaganda out and put the veil over us to make us think that other issues are more important. And we will choose a candidate only because of their political, where they stand politically, whether they're Democrat or not. And we'll just say, we're going with you because what? I'm voting for the lesser of two evils, which is, it makes my stomach turn when I hear people say that. Voting for the lesser of two evils. We have to sort of get out of that mindset. Why would you want to vote for an evil? You know what I'm saying? So it's taking that that concept and just step back and just really review and think about what you're doing when you make these political strides in your cities and counties and states.
I, from a political standpoint, registered Democrat, but you kind of swayed me on a lot of different things, especially when it came to whether or not to even participate in a presidential election. That shit would have never been a thought in my mind, you know, a few years ago. But I think there is a groundswell going on right now that is trying to get people to understand the power, or the potential power of the vote, and to hold that vote, to withhold that vote until people are speaking about issues that directly affect us. Mm-hmm. But the show is about barriers, man. So I'm gonna put forth a political barrier that I think is out there. I think that local engagement is a barrier. People don't take the time to actually be more engaged politically on a local level when those are the politicians and the legislators that will affect you the quickest. I think that's a barrier, man. And it's a very low barrier to get over. Just read, just research, just be there, be present, and listen, because, you know, there's no shortage of local political banter. You know, it's not like this shit is a secret.
Right.
You know, it's just Black folks have to be involved, you know, and I always tell people, Hey, look, man, you might not care about politics, man, but the people that employ you do. The people that work at the bank where you have your mortgage, if you don't have a mortgage where you rent, those people care.
Right.
And you should care. So I think that's one barrier, man. And also think another, and like I said, to overcome that barrier, you know, educate yourself, you know, on the local level first. And then you can start seeing how those local politicians align with your state politicians, and your state politicians align with your federal politicians. I mean, you can start kind of connecting the dots, per se. Really just like a dot board, man. It's a domino effect, you can literally connect the dots to see who aligns with what, and then you can cast your vote accordingly.
Right.
I do think that we have to be real with what our status is from a political standpoint. And when I say our status, I mean the way that, or I'll just say our perception, or how we are perceived. Because really, man, black people have been playing a side bitch, dude. We have been getting taken for granted. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you come through, you get a little ass every 2-4 years or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, talk sweet to us, and you know, all of a sudden, you know, you hit it, and then boom, you gone.
Yeah, it's called benign neglect.
That'll be a technical term.
That's a term.
I kind of like side bitch better, man. We get treated like side bitch, man.
You got the slang term. Yeah, the technical term is benign neglect. It's basically saying, you know, like you to what you're saying. Every 4 years, they get, you know, they dust off their their shoes, put on their nice lapel, you know, and a pin, and they come into churches and they hit you up. Right. See what they're going to do, and they don't deliver.
Laying hands on motherfuckers. You got these broke-ass black folks in the front row of the church laying hands on these rich-ass politicians, talking about, Lord, use them. Yeah. Use them to make our lives better. You know what I'm saying? Right, that is some crazy shit to me, man. That's some crazy shit to me.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And we repeat that cycle over and over and over again. We need to get over that particular barrier. You know, I'm not saying lose your religion or anything like that. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is don't mix that shit. Separation of church and state was a great fucking idea because it's needed. You know what I'm saying? It's needed. It's needed. Just to go off on a quick tangent real quick, man. Mm-hmm. You can look and you can see we talk about something that's benign. And by definition, benign means... yeah, it's there, but it's not causing any havoc. It's not infectious. Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, this is the thing. Black churches are benign as fuck right now, dude. They're there, but right now, man.
Yeah, like
what everything is going on right now. I mean, and I know that the pandemic has kind of slowed that shit down, but if you just look historically speaking, man, you won't hear churches speaking out against politicians that they know are rotten.
Yeah.
You don't hear that shit. You may get a one-off here or there that may attack the executive branch of government because that's low-hanging fruit and that's easy. You know what I'm saying? But they won't fuck with them local leaders that can actually do something to them.
Because it's all connected for the most part. Not all churches, not all pastors, and not all churchgoers, but generally the mega churches and those that have a more of a tighter connection with local politicians, they're connected, right? They got to eat too, and then they fall into the same, it just becomes a cycle. It's just... you know, you have the institution of education with schools, your institution of religion, which is churches. So they're all interconnected to where somebody's, you know, feeding somebody else. And you just gotta watch that. I saw a tweet today from Chance the Rapper, and he actually posed that same question that you brought up as far as what are black churches doing to, you know, directly with putting pressure on racism and white supremacy in their communities. And I think that's a good good discussion. Not to go off on tangent here, but as you brought that up, I think that's something to think about as well. Because that creates the same barrier,
right?
When it goes back to politics. And the thing that really controls politics is economics, which is another barrier, because that's your engine, right? Economics is your engine. And we can look at Asians. You don't see Asians voting. You don't see a lot of Arabs voting in this country. You don't see a lot of East Indians voting, or even running for office, for that matter. You might have a little trickle here and there, but why is that? Because they typically have that economic backing, either from their mother country that they came from directly, or they just have a certain family dynamic that has allowed them economically. And, you know, and of course, when they come here, they're welcomed with the immigration laws and grants and things. Banks are very, very bank friendly to give them the loans that they need so readily for them to get. So that's another thing that has created barriers, is just economics. What do we do with that? How do we come together with that?
Economically speaking, I think that we're in one of those situations right now where we need to be smart with our dollars. And when I say smart, I don't necessarily, I mean, if you got it and you can spend it and you ain't got to miss it, okay, that's one thing. But I think that the direction in which we push our dollars really needs to be examined. I'm going to throw up two barriers. I'm going to throw up two barriers here. One barrier is lack of financial education, i.e. how money really works. Mm-hmm. Number two is consumerism. You know, we need to stay up out of these designer stores. We need to put more people in business in our own communities. You know, speaking to what you were talking about, you know, all the people that come into the community and set up shop and don't have to worry about anything because they breastfeed off of our community.
Right.
You know, they got hotels in our neighborhoods. They got
gas stations.
They got all of the personal service, you know, type things,
nail salons,
you know, nail salons, you know, hair supply. Why does an Asian have a black hair supply store? Think about this shit, dude. This shit is just so overt that it's ridiculous. You know, it's crazy to me. So what we need to do is, one by one, put these fuckers out of business. It could be done within each community. One by one, you sew into a black owned business in that particular neighborhood. You know, if you got, you know, 50,000-60,000 people, you know, in a city, you know, you can put somebody on, man, if everybody give $5.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's one of those things. If you can get people to pledge $5 a month for a year, you get 60,000 people to do it. You can give a business owner, you know, $3.6 million of working capital in a year to put everybody around them out of business.
Yeah.
It's not an overnight deal. You know what I'm saying? It's not an overnight deal.
It's not. That's right.
But it has to be realized as something that is needed. And even if you don't put others out of business, you need to definitely be running neck and neck.
Right.
And make them compete for us instead of us just lining up when they dropping the new bundles and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Got motherfuckers standing outside of the beauty supply stores like they releasing the Jordan 13s, bro.
Yeah, and you're totally right, but I think it goes deeper than that. They control a lot of the industry, right? The wholesaling and the manufacturing, and so I think it starts even there. What you're saying makes total sense, but if we don't have a competing black business, let's say if it was a black business that had the same products, open the same hours of operation, and the next door or across the street is an Asian owned with the same stuff, but then I'm going to support the black first. That's where I'm going. But if they don't exist, then people, now you have to look and, like you said, sort of dissect and examine the consumerism part. Is this something that I need first? Is it a luxury? You know, is it a need or a want? Like, you have to, you know, break all that down. And then you say, well, can I get it somewhere? If I want to support with a black dollar, where can I get it instead of keep going here? And that's what you're saying about your about the research as well. But I just wanted to make sure that it's understood that it goes deeper than that. They control, I've read articles, I'm sure you have too, black-owned hair care businesses that are trying to hold on because they can't get the products cheap enough because of some deals that they can't make with, you know, foreign imports and things of that nature. They can't, you know, if we can get in, if we can teach our kids coming through, supply chain management, something you know about, right? Marketing, the whole, how business works from technology on. And we need to be controlling and managing and establishing industries, right? So we can produce the product, and then from the production, it goes to the wholesaling, and then it goes to retailing. So it's like if we own that, and that's what Claude Anderson was trying to teach us in Powernomics, is getting down to the source, and then it'll sort of just trickle out, and then your daughter's grandchildren would be like, I mean, like chilling. It'd be like a whole different way of life because, you know, because we sort of went to that source.
Right. Right. Okay. I mean, yeah. And it requires a deeper level of thinking and a different type of acumen and the desire to acquire the knowledge too. I mean, yeah. And that in and of itself is a barrier, man. A lot of people just want to be spoon-fed shit. They don't want to take on the challenge, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and unfortunately, they don't take on the challenge because, you know, it's just been like a lot of shit's on purpose. What they've done to us and put us in situations, the individual needs to recognize and try to change themselves. But a lot of things we've been put in the situations that have allowed us to be suck on the nipple of the American government, a little too much and a little too long. We got to break that chain. Because exactly. On a previous podcast, I remember just making a comment about that as far as being, I don't know, just somewhat independent in our thinking. And what is it, you know, we were talking specifically about, I'm having a sort of a brain freeze, but we were talking about liberation and what does that look like to if everything started to change. And you got some people, unfortunately, you got a lot of us, we're like, fuck that black empowerment shit. You know, you ain't take away my EBT card, my government check. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And they just sort of depending on white mommy, white daddy, and it becomes a you know, generational thing, unfortunately.
Yeah, and that also applies to the consumerism too, man. That's the thing that's driving us. There's many things driving us backwards, but that's one of the things that drives us backwards. It's the need for immediate gratification through materialistic items.
Mm-hmm.
That shit is a fucking drug, dude. And the reason it's worse than a drug. The reason why it's worse than a drug, because at least a drug does something that, you know, manipulates your chemistry within your body.
Right.
That, you know, that makes you crave that. Yeah. This shit is psychological.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It is hard as hell to detox off of some brainwashing, bro. And
Yeah.
You know, black folks don't want to hear this shit, but they don't want to hear the fact that they're brainwashed. They don't want to hear the fact that we have lived traumatic lives.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's, you know, I mean, most of us walk around with PTSD and don't even fucking know it, dude.
And yeah, right. And never had the therapy. We never received any therapy.
It's just like we're
winging this thing, man.
Right. Big ass cycle, man. It's a big ass cycle because, you know, they say hurt people. So, you know, we're taking those traumatic experiences and the anguish that's caused by them. And, you know, we're circulating them through our own community instead of focusing on getting better.
Yeah.
And focusing outward against our enemies and people that want to continue to oppress us and do us harm.
And see, that point right there, what you're saying is, even that is an argument amongst black folks, is who is the enemy.
Right.
If you say the word enemy, you have 20 black folks that disagree with each other about
right.
who the enemy is or what is an enemy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I think, you know,
That's a show called yeah. Who's the Enemy?
Yeah. We have to keep ourselves engaged in a lot of stuff, man. The thing about social media that I do like is that a lot of shit you're open to a lot of things, right? You can weed out the trash and mess, but you really can see things. I mentioned on the show before where sometimes I just sit back and read people's comments and just sort of learn the mentality of different folks. Things I agree with, things I don't agree with. I think that's some of the things, and some of it I sort of learn, like, wow, yeah, that's a good comment. I'm gonna like his comment, agreement, excuse me. But I think we need to stay engaged, and I brought up social media because everyone's seems to be on it and using it, but we have to use those vehicles wisely so that we can sort of better ourselves and educate ourselves to know what that means to, you know what I'm saying? What all right. these concepts we're talking about, what right. it means to us.
Yeah, I mean, you really see the ignorance that's out there, man, when you just sit back and you know, listen to, I mean, you watch, you know, from erroneous posts to stuff that's 8 years old, stuff that's no longer relevant.
Yeah,
bro. Let me tell you, social media is one of the best tools out there, and goddamn it, it's one of the worst.
Yeah,
it is.
Right.
It's
a double-edged sword.
It is a double-edged sword, like a motherfucker, bro.
It is.
Because like I said, it's discouraging because you realize exactly how far we have to go, man. We're gonna move on, man. Another barrier, man, that I see to unity, and this is gonna be probably a controversial one, man. Motherfuckers don't want to hear this shit, man. Religion.
Oh boy.
Religion is a fucking barrier to unity. And I'm gonna tell you why.
Yeah.
Let me tell you why. First of all, let me give you a disclaimer. I don't give a fuck what you believe. I really just don't fucking care. I really don't. Because again, like I've said before, we talked on another show, and we talked about Jordan, and I was just saying, man, there's something within him that he couldn't escape, you know. And some people feel like that when it comes to how they feel about their religion, their God, or whatever they practice. You know, it's one of those things that you feel like you have to submit because of whatever reason.
Yeah.
The problem comes in at this at this particular juncture. This is why the situation is fucked up, and this is why the church in and of itself is actually going to keep us divided. Because number one, and this goes back to the psychological trauma, man. Number one, people are divided into church sex, but not mm-hmm. sex as an S-E-X, as yeah. sex as an S-E-C-T-S. Okay. Yeah. You know, you remember back in the day, man, that's people true. Like, man, what church you go to? Oh, that's Pastor so-and-so and da-da-da-da. Like, yeah, who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it doesn't really matter. I mean, you know, we want to hold on to anything that will make us feel like we're elevated above another black person. Because you go to a mega church and I go to one out in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you got a building fund that finances, your pastor's jet, and we got a building fund that we can't change a doorknob with.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's one of those things where there's a chasm there, and it's supposed to be the same damn God. Right. Supposed to be. And here's the other kicker, man. Mm-hmm. Black folks don't want to hear about you not believing in white Jesus, bro.
Oh, yeah.
They don't want to hear that shit. They don't want to hear it. They don't even know. Well, that's a whole nother show. We're gonna do a show called White Jesus.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother show.
Go ahead.
I'm just gonna say, man, it is an oppressive state. When you are in an oppressed state, when you use your religion to justify your inactivity.
Uh-huh.
When you use your religion to say, or to stay in your safe zone, you know, and I'm giving an example. Old school sayings, man, I heard them too, man. I mean, bro, I lived in church, bro.
Mm-hmm.
May not come when you want them, but he always right on time.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm waiting on God. You know, I'm, uh-huh. you know what I'm saying? I'm waiting on him to tell me, you know, to use me, you know? But this is the thing. And this is what people lose sight of. And I am not a preacher. I don't read the Bible. I have read the Bible, but I don't read the Bible any longer.
Okay.
This is the thing. God is supposed to give you free will. And if somebody's bashing your head in, if somebody's raping you economically, if somebody's taking advantage of you politically and creating a situation where your life literally has no value amongst the society in which you're supposed to actually be able to function as free.
Yeah.
The fuck you waiting on God for?
Yeah.
What are you waiting? What are you waiting on? You know, you're waiting. Just like the previous generation was waiting, and the previous generation, and the previous generation. You understand what I'm saying? That is a big barrier, dude. Now, I know these kids out here today. Kids out here today, man, they with that shit. So, I mean,
they're what?
They with that shit, bro. They out there doing the thing. So, I'm really proud of the, and I never thought I'd say this shit, man, but these like, what is it, Generation Z or whoever?
Yeah,
they with the shit, bruh.
Well, it's becoming more free thinking population of us. I think as we continue on year after year, because people starting to really see what it really is about.
But we still keep passing that the object we're talking about barriers to unity, and we are still passing that white Jesus disease around, bro.
Yeah,
we're still passing this shit around.
And it's funny when you put the adjective white, because that in itself can be that's controversial, just to say white versus just Jesus. But again, that's a whole nother.
Tell me I'm wrong.
A whole nother show.
Tell me I'm wrong.
You're not.
Okay.
It's a whole nother show.
I'm just saying, bro. But I'm just saying, you know, Jesus as it has been passed down. Because again, people, I mean, don't come at me with the bullshit. But if you want to, 704-946-6060, 704-946-6060. If you really feel froggy, go ahead and leap. I could talk about this shit all day. But again,
yeah.
People don't understand. You're passing that. Those are traumatic gifts that people are passing to you. That whole gift is wrapped in pain and pillage and rape and violence and execution and lynching. That's what that shit is wrapped in.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? I don't understand why people would want to carry this shit from generation to generation and to generation, and then use it to justify your inactivity, to say you're waiting. God hasn't moved me. That's what I'm saying. That's the barrier, because it's so psychologically embedded that it's going to keep your ass on the sideline.
Yeah. And I wouldn't say that all church going Christians are like that. And I know that the church itself has been a safe haven more so back in the day for black groups of all interests, Black Panthers, NAACP, et cetera, to come together to talk about issues. Even in slavery, that was their refuge place.
I hate to interrupt you, man, because we running out of time on this shit, man. But I'm gonna let you finish that particular point. But I do want to say this because I want you to expand on both. Keep the thoughts that you have and expand on this shit too. From a monetary standpoint, yeah, the church has done a lot of things, you know, historically. It was far more effective in the 60s than it is now.
And you
think about it now, you got all these pastors of these mega churches. There's no fucking way that your pastor should be flying around in a fucking jet when you could be when you could be galvanizing your congregation to say, hey, look, yeah, I want you to pledge $100 today, but what we're gonna do, we're gonna buy this block right here.
Right.
And exactly. we got Brother Johnson right here. He has an MBA. We got Brother Jenkins over here. He's a pharmacist. We got you know, the Williams family over here. They got a farm.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
This shit is elementary, bro. So I'm gonna cut it off right there because, you know, we're trying to keep things short. And I'm gonna let you finish your point and expand on that too.
Dude, honestly, you just summed that up. I don't know, you know, if you got my notes or something, but that literally that's sort of what I was going to say. I was just want to lean back. I wanted to give, at least tell some truth to what churches were meant more so in the past. But nowadays people are starting to, you know, weed out the bullshit. And so, yeah, it can become a barrier. It is a barrier to unity if one allows it to be. In other words, I know folk who are deep in the church or whatever, and maybe sound like that, but they know how to probably take that, get out their suit, and do some real shit and talk some real shit too.
And you know, so it depends on the individual. I don't mean to generalize, bro, but what I'm saying is when you're dealing with, you know, we got 300 something million people, 13% of, you know, almost 14% of us. I'm talking about as a whole, because the actions of a few affect the body as a whole. So I mean, I'm not pointing out church people. What I'm saying is that, you know, there's some behavioral patterns here that have historically kept us where we are, point blank.
Right. And then real quick, then you got some folk who say, if you're not this, if you don't think this way, you know, I don't care what you say about your black empowerment stuff, you're going to hell or what, you know.
That's my point, bro. That's my point.
Now you're like, okay.
They don't even want to talk to you if you say, you know, I mean, you know how many friends I have actually lost because I say I don't do this church shit. You know, you believe in some imaginary sky daddy shit that I don't. You know, I mean, I've lost. I'm probably gonna lose some listeners saying that shit. But
yeah, but hey, it's
real. But I'll tell you, I live authentically as hell, and I'll tell you this: when my back is against the wall, my fucking feet move. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, that's that is the point. What I'm saying is to get rid of that particular barrier, you have to be okay with me telling you that, but still trusting me to tell you from my experience what I think is the best course of action, and vice versa. You know what I'm saying? Just because you're a believer of some sort, I don't think you're stupid. I don't think that you don't have you know, a certain skill set that can help bring us forward. What I'm saying is that is the barrier. You gotta trust me, I gotta trust you. And religion can't factor into that shit at all. It can't. It's a barrier. It is a big barrier. And to me, It is just as big of a barrier as some of the psychological traumatic shit that make us give our money to people that hate us, bro. Period. What else you got, player?
It is, man.
That's what it is. All right, man. Well, we're gonna let people know, if this is your last listen, that you can catch our you catch our previous shows on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Castbox, Podbean, and some other stuff out there, man. Like I said, people have hijacked the RSS feed at times and put us on platforms. We appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
Yep. You can also connect with us on social media platforms, on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at ICBW Podcast. That's ICBW Podcast. Be sure to like, comment, follow, subscribe where appropriate. You can also check us out on our website at ICBWpodcast.com. don't take this Jesus shit personally, man. Don't take it personally. Just listen to it for what it is, man. So listen to it for what it is. This about us. This ain't about you. It's about us.
And on top of that, understand, black people, you are black first. Your religion is a choice. Okay. And again, we'll probably go on another show on that, but I can't stand when people say I'm Christian first, I'm Muslim first, or whatever. No, before your parents got together, you knew you were going to be black. You're black by your physiological nature.
You had to give your life to Christ, bro. You had to give your life to Christ. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So I wanted to point that out there.
That's what it is, bro.
All right, man. Be good. Be safe. Behave, brother.
And we out.
I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct, and you should probably hurry. It gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct, and you should hurry up. It might get crowded. Bring a friend with you. Expression Reds, their curators are cool. The culture and consciousness brought directly to you. Tune in every week for the newest of new and occasional politics as it pertains to you. Divergent point of views make for a whole picture, and we suggest you get your money up and take the shit with you. Ain't no fountain to you, but it's a secret elixir to ensure the black man as a permanent fixture. Standing here in America behind enemy lines, where more often than not my skin's considered a crime. Cops kill us daily and will never do time, while a crooked ass judge decides to fate for mine. One day at a time is what my mama would say, and since mama said living ain't no time to play, and since I got a little game, I'ma give it away. But let's start the show before I get carried away. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct, and you should probably hurry. It gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct, and you should hurry up. It might get crowded. Bring a friend with you.
You just tuned in to I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It, hosted by Fresh and Reg. Holla back next week.